From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Or a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown? Sleep Tight Stories.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtime's a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with The 7 every weekday. So follow The 7 right now.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Four teams, one of them definitely ain't Dallas, one goal, to make it out to Vegas in a few short weeks.
With all eyes on the prize, we've teamed up with DraftKings, an official partner of the NFL.
Right now, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Yes, instantly.
Download the DraftKings app now and sign up using promo code SMOKE for your shot at the crown.
Bet just $5 on any wager and get $200 in bonus bets instantly.
Wondering what you can use your $200 in bonus bets on? Combine multiple bets together from the same game for a shot at an even bigger payout.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. New customers, use the promo code SMOKE. Bet just $5 on any wager and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's promo code SMOKE, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome back, All the Smoke.
Yeah.
Jack, go had a good New York run. We back in L.A. We got round two with one of our favorites.
Man, we in the building. That's all I know.
He was on the purple couch last time.
Yeah, legs up. Yeah.
Legs up. He don't like this setup. He
elevated, said man. I wanted y'all to have y'all own chair, man. Yeah. Step up. Y'all bosses, man. We don't even share chairs and shit. Y'all too grown to be sharing a motherfucking chair, nigga. I don't even feel like I got a camera. That's fucked up. You niggas got me squeezed all up.
You got the big one,
man. Man.
You got the best camera. The best camera on you.
I don't like this shit. I don't like this shit. Fuck that, dog. This ain't That's y'all spot, nigga. Y'all nigga, squeeze, bit, put that nigga on the end. I don't give a fuck, nigga. This is weed and smoke, nigga. All the smoke, nigga. We run the show. Put that, I don't give a fuck about Snoop. Squeeze that nigga down at the edge of the table. So if he turn any way wrong, he gonna fall. Matt in the middle, motherfucker.
First of all, we want to wish baby girl, hope she's doing better. I got a chance to talk to her this morning.
Man, I appreciate all the prayers and all the love. You know, I'm a private kind of person, but my baby girl, she's like me.
Mm-hmm.
So she wants the world to know what she's going through. And, you know, that's what I love about her is that she's her own individual and she's got a following of people who love her, who support her.
Like us.
Yeah, exactly. So whatever she's going through, she loves to put it out there and let people know whatever she's going through. And I'm blessed to have that from her, that she's not secretive and she's putting it out there because that's how you get help.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yep. We're praying for her, wishing the best. Underdogs, Amazon Prime drops in January 26th, starring Mike Epps, George Lopez, directed by Charles Stone, who did Paid in Full and Drumline.
Yeah.
Talk to us about your new movie coming out.
The Underdogs, I play a retired football player, all-star, top five wide receiver of all time, like I would have been in real life. but shocked back into reality, catch a case, got to slide back to the hood, do some community service. And, you know, thinking I'm taking the easy route out, I see some kids, and I'm like, let me just go and coach these kids and take the easy route. But I end up learning a lesson. I end up teaching. I end up finding my old community values that I've separated from, which happens when we become successful.
Mm-hmm.
Because we deal with the pressures of the hood, expect so much from you when you make it. So we just run away from the hood.
Mm-hmm.
So this character that I play is forced to go back to the hood. And when he goes back, he learns the most important lesson of his life is that family, community, and always staying rooted is the most important thing. So he's not me, but I love the fact that I could play a character that was close, but not close to me.
Right. This new generation of kids is talking slick. They talking slick to you on there?
Say, man. Matt, you got boys. You got a basketball team full of boys. Mm-hmm. You've been with them for a long time. They ain't just start talking like that. And it's swagger. It's not even the vulgarness of what it used to be when we were kids. It's the swagger.
Mm-hmm.
That comes with, you know, you make a good move on the football field or the basketball court. Motherfucker, yeah, nigga, what's happening? Like, right, that's swag. Real, right? That's not vulgar. Like, and people have to appreciate the fact that this new generation, they express themselves a little bit differently than we did.
Yep.
And when we was young, they had a problem with the way we expressed ourselves. Don't forget that part. When we was the youngsters, that they gave us the same flack that old men give these youngsters, and we need to let them be young.
Respect the game.
You said you wanted to find Mr. Streams. The music business is fucked up, owed you some money. Mm-hmm. Is there similar problems? I mean, obviously, your game has transitioned not only to music now, in television, film. Do they find similar issues in streaming movies, or is it a little different?
It's the same situation, but the strike has created a whole new, you know, pathway to it. But I feel like by it being streamed, there's a certain cutoff from what you can get. Box office, there's no limit to what it can do. Because a box office can go 100, 300, 500 million, a billion. But a stream, okay, I got, you watch the motherfucker for 18 billion hours. How much fucking money is that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on hours, it's based on things that you can't actually calculate. So definitely, but if you really think about it, more people are sitting at home watching movies in the convenience of their living room or wherever they're at than in the theaters until you put out a theatrical release that demands for everyone to go watch that motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Explain us and our viewers just the streaming and why it's so messed up in music.
Well, it's so messed up in music is because the era that I come from is physical. So we had cassettes, CDs, right? So if a CD sold for $10.99, the label would get six, you would get a dollar or whatever. So if it sold a million, you know you made $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now, streaming, it's half of a fucking penny to get
per
1,000 streams. So nigga get 1 million streams, yeah, you got $13,000. Damn. It's like it's not adding up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like there's no physical component to it because I may stream three of Stack's songs and not even hear his whole fucking album.
Mm-hmm.
But I streamed it a billion times. But is that any good for him when he goes to do a show and nobody knows those other seven songs and he's standing up there looking stupid as fuck, thinking he got a billion streams, but don't nobody know them other songs? So it's a disconnect. Right. You feel what I'm saying? So I'm trying to put the connect back into it as far as like, give me some answers. There's some artists like LaRussell hit me. Nephew said, I know how to get the bag. Holla at me. I'm like, yeah, I like that. Keep that. That's for the youngsters. I'm going to get with you on that. Mm-hmm. But I need to find something for the OGs like us.
Yeah.
They're going to give y'all the game, but they're going to push us to the side. You know how they do the vets?
Yep.
You know, we don't know nothing no more.
No, yep. Right?
It's good to see you talking about the vets. It's good to see what they did for Face and Rakim down in Houston, Hip Hop 50. Giving them that cash and honoring them. I think that was good for them, man, because you know, they both had some health battles, and they both came up out of it. So for what Hip Hop 50 did for their own, I think that was beautiful.
But you got to take care of your own, though, Jack. You got to set an example. We do it privately. I've done it many years with so many artists that needed help, that needed physical and financial help.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a public thing for me. I'm not going to say I helped him.
Right.
But when they did that publicly, that's what it's supposed to be, because now the young generation respect your elders, because you're making all this money. Not that you have to, but if you love this rapper and respect this rapper, and you see he's down on his luck, he may need some money, but he has pride. He can't even ask you because he used to be you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you have enough man in you to say, Unc, I'm going to throw you something.
Mm-hmm.
There's been many times where me and 50 Cent together have called some of our OGs and put bags on him.
Mm-hmm.
And the OG like, oh man, nah, we're like, we ain't trying to hear that shit. We know you need it.
Yeah.
Here, nigga.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it gotta be. Yeah, but that's who we are. That's who me and 50 is.
Right.
I can't speak for everybody else. But if any OG that me and him respect, it's happened a couple of times. That's why I can bring his name up. I don't have to say the person or the people. But he feel like I feel. If it's an OG that need it, that's down, that don't know how to ask for it.
You don't think twice.
I put it in, they like, oh. 50 just, I'm like, damn, nigga, beat me to it. Hold on, I gotta call this shit, right? I don't like you beat me to the donation pile, nigga. Hold on, we're going to donate together.
Yeah.
Goddamn right.
We just had Big Boy not too long, and he shared a story that had us rolling, kind of rolling after the fact, after we was laughing, but he said, you almost had a real accident when
this
he
this nigga
you
tried
van.
To kill me, man.
Explain what happened.
That's when that nigga was fat, Big Boy. Mm-hmm. When he wasn't the in-shape Big Boy
hold
right
on, real
now.
Quick, did you see the story we had with the two guns underneath his stomach?
No, that nigga had two guns up under his stomach?
Bro, we gonna show you the story. Go ahead, finish your story.
So this nigga, he been fucking with me for years. It's my, I love him to death, so I'm fucking with y'all by talking about him like this, but I love him. It's my nigga, right? So he fucking with me every year. Snoop, my birthday, man. I got a birthday. When is your birthday, cuh? It's in September. Oh, nigga, I coach football. Nigga, I don't leave my kids, nigga. I love you on your birthday, but fuck you, nigga. Them kids more important. So he just keep telling me it's his birthday. It's his birthday. So one year, his birthday fall on a day where it ain't no game. And the football is on pause for this week, or we made it to the playoffs or something. So I'm like, all right, nigga, I'm going to do it for you, cuz. Send me that motherfucking, he got a Sprinter van that he was riding in, but it was like a handicap van that he has hooked up. Send me that motherfucking handicap van you be riding in, nigga, with the beat in the back. Boom, we at the house waiting. I got about 15 homies with me. A van pull up. It ain't the one that he be in. It's a real nigga, niggas in the window with the helmet on, bus, one of them. I'm like, cuz, you want us to ride in this? So I'm like, fuck it, we gonna get in, cuz, let's roll. We jump in. Soon as we get in there, I'm like, cuz, I smell gas. I'm like, real gas, nigga, like Chevron, like 76, nigga, Arco.
High octane.
So, nigga, like, shit, don't go for nigga like, nigga, don't you dare blaze, nigga. I said, nigga, don't nobody smoke nothing. I'm smart, nigga. I'm like, nigga, I smell gas, nigga. No, don't nobody smoke nothing. I tell all the homies, give me the lighters. Take all the lighters, put them in the bag.
Like they was little kids.
Put them in the bag. Boom. We ride, nigga. All while we ride, niggas is doing all this shit. Niggas like, damn, cuz, it's gas.
That nigga woozy, huh?
We get to the motherfucking thing, nigga. And jump out. I don't even cuss Big Boy out. I just like, cuz, look, smell the woo wop. It smell like gas, cuz. He get up in there, he smell. He like, yeah, it do smell like gas. I'm going to let you use my van on the way back. So I'm like, cool. So we perform, jump in his van and go back. Nigga, the van we was in, that motherfucker blew up.
Oh, man.
It blew up, nigga, when we got out like 20 minutes after. And my house was like an hour and 20 minutes. Yeah, so, nigga, man, we'd have been in the back blowing up. And this nigga said, I'm sorry.
Oh, shit.
That motherfucker blew all the way up, nigga. I'm not playing. He got footage of it, nigga. It's on full fire, nigga. Like, like nobody was getting out of that. It was a handicap van. You know what a handicap van got? Extra locks and shit.
Right.
So you can't get out. They didn't lock everything up.
Locks like, ass thing.
Windows, damn, everything cup. Locked.
Oh, shit. Thanks, big boy. I love you, cuz.
Right.
If Jenny Buss called you right now and say, Snoop, give me your honest opinion of the Lakers right now. I don't want you to cut back. Don't hold nothing back. Give me your honest opinion of what I need to do. What would you tell her?
Jenny? Man, you know.
The camera's right here. You can talk right here.
Jenny, this is going to hurt me more. Hold on, let me light up for this. Jenny, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. We're going to have to move some furniture. We got to move some furniture real fast. Some big pieces of furniture, if you know what I mean. We need to move some furniture around and put some dogs on the court, because anytime a young team comes to town, we freeze up. We can handle the old dogs and the coulda, woulda, shouldas, but when them young goons come to town, before that little nigga Ja Morant got hurt, god damn, whew, he came back with a vengeance. And then you got them young goons in the league. Come on, Jeannie. Think about it. What are we built on? Get us some young guns out there. Old dog, you doing your thing. I'm going to give you yours. Mm-hmm. Cud doing his thing. Mm-hmm. Other niggas, that nigga that look like me, he be hitting sometimes and he be missing sometimes. You know that nigga I be talking about, 12. Yeah, that nigga. You can't be looking like Snoop Dogg, nigga, not making it, nigga. Jenny, move some furniture around.
Love you, Jenny.
Love you, Jenny, for sure. Hey, we see that you did a little recruiting to Death Row and gave Steph a Death Row chain. What was
had
that
to.
About?
Had to. Had to. That's the greatest to ever do it, man. Come on, man, Steph. What I love about Steph, not what he does on the court, but what he does off the court. Mm-hmm. He hit me before they won the ship in the season. I was like, I got this basketball thing I do in the Bay. Build a court, come to the community. I'm gonna do it with you in your city. Mm. I'm like, damn, that's dope that you even thought about me like that. So I'm like, the only park in my hood where all the people grew up at is King Park. Tough environment, et cetera, et cetera. Steph Curry pulls up. Mm. Hello, shows up, shows out. Information to the kids, share stories of how his struggle is and why he created this, chopping it up with me. Then he gave me the game on how he beat the Celtics. That was gangster. Mm. Telling me how they was young and they wasn't ready. And how certain things that they did and how they just, I'm a coach too, so I mental. Like hearing all of this mental breakdown mm-hmm. of how he went out there and did that and how they won that ship. And then when he said something to me about legacy, I had to give him a chain. Mm. Because so. It felt like he and his legacy and me and my legacy together is something that my hood needed to see. Mm-hmm. They need to see two great people that made it come back and be touchable.
Different ways.
Come
too.
On, man.
Mm-hmm. Being touchable means so much to kids in our neighborhood.
Man, that nigga was there before me, man. Steph pulled up, man, mm-hmm. in the city, man, in the, on the east side. Mm-hmm. Man, King Park, where the greats have walked.
Mm-hmm. Thoughts on the Clippers and their new arena. Where you think the direction they're going?
Hope they break bread. I'm in Englewood, I need a few dollars.
Mm-hmm. You got your store down there, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all business. And I love Mr. Ballmer for what he does community-wise. Like, he's real active in the city of Englewood before the stadium is built. I'm a businessman. Laker fan. Businessman. Mm-hmm. Lakers for life. But we got to get the bag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tributa.
You saw that section they have where you can only be a Clipper fan and they tell when you stand, when you clap, what color you're wearing. You can't sell your tickets to no other people. It's like a theme I think they got from soccer overseas, but it's a whole wall where you have to be a Clipper fan to sit in that bitch.
Well, it's going to be kind of empty in that motherfucker. Remember when they used to sell Clipper tickets for $3 on the floor?
Yeah, those are, that, them days is long
That's
gone.
That's when the nigga with the Jerry curl was on their team.
Michael
Cage? Yeah, that
yeah, man, they done got rid of Clipper Darryl, too.
That's fucked up.
That's fucked up.
The nigga went and painted his car and his house. His whole house. Everything.
And got knocked out.
Oh, man, security disrespect.
Oh, yeah, they did. Man, that was bad,
Clipper Darryl, come on home, man. The Lakers would never do you like that. Come on home, man. Flip that shit, man. Clipper Easy Darryl. Paint job. Flip
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Easy.
Easy security to beat you up. Hey, I'm Clipper Darryl, goddamn. Boop.
Yep,
hey,
knocked him out.
Hey, Snoop come got on, something that'll paint it for you, too. On the house.
They would never do Laker fans like that.
They did my boy bad, man.
They did him, man. Then they ran the clip back over and over on TMZ. Harvey up there with his drink in his hand. So earlier today, big Clipper fan, Clipper Darryl, found out he's really not a Clipper fan. Motherfucker.
No respect.
Rodney Dangerfield, the nigga. Mm.
What's up with your Steelers? What's next for him?
We need to move some furniture. Same routine. You know, I just feel like the league is moving forward, right? The play calling and the speed and the dogs and the youthfulness is missing. You can't compete unless you got that. The last four teams that's left got all of that. Yep. Everything I just said. There's dogs out there. Some of them niggas is young. Like, it's their first time. So it's not about veterans. It's about having those dogs who want to win together as a unit. That's what a team is about. Like, with the Denver Nuggets, right? Switching to basketball. Them niggas was dogs last year.
Yep.
I didn't believe it when I was watching. Like, oh, them niggas, sorry. Cuz from Canada and cuz from overseas. We finna knock them. Them niggas swept us, went, did that. And then when I watched them live with my own two eyes, I'm like, oh, they're a real unit. They care about each other. Mm-hmm. Them niggas fuck with each other. They team and they young. And they get down with each other. Like, they not just show up to the game one at a time. No, them niggas may pull up to the game together.
How we didn't go to state.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's a, come on, Jack, you got to have that feel about you if you want to win.
Yeah, that matters.
And I feel like, too, I mean, I think on both sides, I think really in basketball, but to me, it's less about the X and O's and the old way of ruling and more about how you can communicate with these guys and make them understand and believe, to go down to their level and help bring them up to where you're trying to take them. So I think it's kind of out with the old ways. You know, all due respect, Belichick is one of the greatest to ever do it, but I think the game has kind of caught him. You know what I mean? I love Tomlin. I think, but I kind of think the game has caught him. So it's more about these young, innovative coaches, different kind of play calls, and again, relating to your players, which brings me to say, shout out Antonio Pierce, man. Got Raiders. That Raiders job, man.
Oh, they gave it to him?
Yeah, he got it.
Good shit. He deserved it. The players, the locker room was in uproar. Niggas That's talking about, I quit if you don't play.
The best player said he wants out. So
That's
I mean,
TJ Watt said about Mike Tomlin too. Mm-hmm. He said same thing.
That's dope.
Yeah, he go, I go.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. The players, he made the players believe. He spoke their language. You know what I mean? It's like us again. You always need structure, but I feel like it's more about relating to players on all levels now than it is actually coaching.
The hardest part about coaching that I found is relinquishing power, right? Because when you win the Super Bowl, you want to be the head coach that hoisting that trophy. But if you notice, the Super Bowl coaches that win, the head coaches, why the next year or two, they offensive coordinators get a job somewhere else, and they defensive coordinators get a job somewhere else, as opposed to staying down in this system right here to become the head coach one day. It's to get him out of here, send him to a sorry-ass team, make him look like he can't coach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's going to keep winning because he's got the main ingredient, the quarterback and the players.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody can sort of kind of plug and play with the system that they created.
You fit people in, yeah. That's what Pop do. Yeah. But, in San Antonio.
Come on, man. It's this coaching. I'm learning this from being a coach and just watching the system, the merry-go-round, how it go down, and how when one of my head coaches that's in the NFL got dropped, boop, they dropped him. I hit him on FaceTime. The nigga wasn't sad at all. The nigga was like, oh, yeah, I'm trying to see what's happening with that other job over there down the street from you. And whoop-de-whoop. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay. It's really a business for them.
Plug and play. Mm-hmm.
It ain't like how us athletes, how we really worried about, is the niggas going to sign us? Is the next person going to pick us up? Remember the Lamar Jackson situation when 31 of y'all can get action?
We just talked about that this morning.
All 31 of y'all can touch, cuz guess what happened? Nobody wanted to fuck with him.
I just said that this morning.
Then mama stepped in, that black queen.
Mm-hmm. That black queen came and get that agent out of here. Mm-hmm. You don't know what the fuck he talking about. I got about. This. I got this, my baby. Now, this is what's gonna happen. You gonna give my baby this, this, this. And if he win that motherfucking whole thing,
oh yeah, y'all finna, yeah.
You finna rewrite this motherfucker.
Yeah.
What Patrick Mahomes got, he need times two.
Mm-hmm. 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 And now he gonna get it.
Because he's a marketing machine. He's a video game cover. Mm-hmm. He's who the kids want to be.
Right. Yep.
He's more believable than anybody else in the league because we believe we can be him more than anybody. Even though he got all that super speed and all that shit, he come from where we come from.
Goddamn right.
So we feel like we can be him faster than Mahomes or anybody. No disrespect, but he the one, not the two.
Yep. Since we on quarterbacks, let's stay there. You gave C.J. Stroud a lot of love. Spiritual kid, always spreading love and positivity. And you know, the person he is showing why he has so much success. You want to talk about him for a second?
Yeah, man. Coach Superfly in my league, in the Snoop U Football League. That's his, you know, discovery, his kid. They played up under my umbrella, which is the Snoop U Football League. We played for the same organization, which is Pomona Steelers. So I coached a team over him and under him for a couple of years. So I would see him at practice, engage with them. Superfly is one of my friends who became a coach after me. Like most rappers, we follow what someone's doing and then we get great at it and we become better. So Fly is an outstanding coach now. He coached that kid and showed him the ways of the Snoop U Football League, and that stayed with him. So when he went on to high school and went on to Ohio State and got drafted, he remembered those values and those teachings that were taught to him. And you see it instilled in him when he speaks, when he talks, when he plays. The love that he's getting, the respect that he's getting, this is something that's instilled in the kid. So when he becomes a man, it becomes his everyday life. Mm-hmm. Whatever you put in that baby, it's going to turn out as a man. We didn't put gang banging in him. Mm-hmm. We didn't put go ride for the hood, get tatted up. We put learn this offense, learn this defense, learn what scheming is, learning a playbook, learning your schoolwork, learning how to be respectable, learn to respect your elders, like learn to respect this.
All the right shit.
Gave him life.
Now it's up to them to make a decision because we give them all that. We don't save them all in my league. I say that. It's not always a success story in my league. There's some kids we couldn't reach that we couldn't save. Mm-hmm. But we don't give up on them.
Right.
It's just, it's a form of what we have to go through.
Try another approach with a certain
Yes, sir.
How good does it feel, you know, when you look at all the successful athletes that came out the SYFL?
Man, to watch that Niner game, to watch Romeo Doubs, Keyshawn Nixon, and Lenore from the 49ers all make big plays. Fucking plays.
Yeah, yeah.
And big monstrous plays. Mm-hmm. But they've been doing this since they've been babies.
You've seen it, yeah.
In my league at 8 years old, you may have a night game at 6 o'clock with 1,000 motherfuckers in the crowd. And the pressure is on. Mm-hmm. So when you 13 or 14, I'm used to this shit. Then we may fly to Florida and take on the number one team in the nation. Then you may go to Texas the next week and play the number two team in the nation. Then you go to Seattle to play a team with 15-year-olds when they're supposed to be 11 with an NFL fat-ass coach cheating. Facts. And you still persevere. Ooh. So you setting them up for success. Then it's 1 week when I was coaching and my head coach got suspended. My defensive coordinator got suspended this week. And we didn't have a game because my league was fucked up because they tried to break my league down and take all the teams out. So I had to go ask a team from another league, could I play them? The team from the other league tells me, we'll play you, but your team has to play an older team from our league. We like, wow. So I can't tell my team, hey, man, y'all finna play against some older white kids. I just say, hey, we got a game this week. Who we playing, Coach Snoop? So this team, blah, blah, blah. We get out there. Them white boys way bigger than us. You can just see they out there like, we finna kill these guys. My niggas is like, let's go.
Yeah.
The game is cracking. Boop, 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 boop. We lose by like 2 points.
Mm.
Little homies is crying at the end of the game. I'm like, let me holler. I put them all together. I said, hey, y'all 9, they 11.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole face has changed. And we went on a mission and won the rest of our games
dope.
And went on a mission like to win it all. Like it takes shit like that to be like, okay, let me throw y'all in the fire because I know one day in life when you get on that big stage, and the whole world is watching him. Dun, 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 dun.
You've been doing this.
That's what I do. Juju.
Been doing.
Juju Smith-Schuster, last year's Super Bowl, the plate at the flag. That's the kid out of my league.
Yeah.
He do the zig move.
Mm-hmm.
Zig Bradbury up. Zig. Everybody know the zig route? If you're a DB, you can't be on that route because you're going to hold. He held the flag. The Chiefs win. Juju's got a ring. That's another kid from the league with a ring. Oh, my.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When your child fights sleep, it can feel like a battle you'll never win. Imagine a bedtime routine you all look forward to, where you cuddle in and let the stress of the day melt away. Welcome to Sleep Tight Stories, a calming weekly podcast that brings bedtime stories, cuddles, and comfort to families worldwide. The stories are quirky, relatable, and spark wonder without overstimulation, so listeners can fall asleep and stay asleep. Each episode is narrated by me, Cheryl McLeod, a second grade teacher, and written by my husband, Clark, an eternal second grader at heart. Tune in tonight and bond over a story before drifting off to sleep. Make bedtime the sweetest part of your day. Sleep Tight Stories. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me!
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who you got in the Super Bowl this year?
Black quarterback?
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that. You know what I'm saying? Because I love the fact that the league has grown to where we actually have a black quarterback in the Super Bowl all the time now. Like last year was two. Mm-hmm.
And I think, what is it, almost 15 quarterbacks? Don't quote me, but I think it's like 15, 16 black quarterbacks now.
And that's not a racist statement.
Not
that's
at
a
all.
Statement of growth.
It's come a long way.
The league
has come a long way. Right.
Accepting the fact that we're not just run around, catch the ball, tackle somebody. No, we're the smartest guys on the field.
Well, that's the thing right there, especially because that was the whole thing. black quarterbacks not smart enough. You know that was the tag. They're not smart enough to be quarterbacks in the NFL. That's what they used to say.
Right. But remember, when the quarterback that's not black is out of the NFL, he'll go get a job at an IBM corporation or somewhere where they're reading numbers and doing all this kind
I'll
of shit.
I'll go straight to Fox for 200-something million, like Tom Brady.
Hello?
Word.
Right, but it's all about positioning, right? What are you going to do with that knowledge that you have? If you acquire the knowledge, it's your job to use that knowledge. You can't keep blaming them. If you know they're hiring at these corporations for quarterbacks who have that mental, then you should be setting up yourself to say, okay, I'll try out at ESPN and Fox and all these other networks, but I'm going to also go to IBM and these other motherfuckers and Google and them because my mind power is stronger than all these geeks that you got in here working that's training to be what I am already.
Mm-hmm. I got the experience.
Hello.
That's the one thing Cope said, not to bring Cope up, but he was big on the mental side. He's like, we're already trained to be disciplined and priorities. And 1%, you cross that mind to the business side. You know what I mean? You apply that same kind of mentality. You can do whatever you want.
I know Usher has been performing for a long time. He got all experience, but you performed in the 2022 Super Bowl. Any advice you'll give him?
Hell no. I'm not gonna give that nigga some advice. That nigga got all the bitches.
That's what I said.
All the bitches. Even the ones that's married, they like him. Like, my wife done went to this nigga show 3 times. I asked him, why do you keep going to see this nigga? Like, what is he doing different? Like, and you sitting right up there with the nigga. And he's my friend. I'm gonna tell him to kick you out next time. But the nigga got all the women. The nigga can dance. The nigga can roller skate. He look good. And he sound good. In real life, how can you take advice when you have all of these things working in your favor? Like, this is the professional that I am. He in Vegas doing the residency, right? That's some Frank Sinatra shit that he doing. That's, you dream of doing that. There's only one level up from that, the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. That is training for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. That's preparation for the moment to understand my engagement with the crowd, what songs they feeling. When do I dance? When do I roller skate? When do I go ballet? When do I pick it back up? Like, as a performer, it's like an athlete. You have to know when to know when. Like, it's the first quarter. I ain't finna give you niggas all of me right now. I only want 8 points and 2 rebounds. Third quarter, I want about 15, 9 rebounds. Fourth quarter, I may gas you niggas out. I may not even sit down. But this is how we train ourselves. Like, you guys train yourselves.
5 points a quarter, you average 20.
I'm on 10. I'm greedy.
I'm Usher.
And the word is on Snoop Dogg in a celebrity game, that nigga will put himself back in the game and he don't come out the game.
Nigga, I seen it. We seen it. 50 rebounds. Nigga, we seen it.
Hey, this dude pulled up.
Nigga say, hey. Who they take me? No, hold on. Good coming out. I ain't coming out. Hey, homie, you got
to
come out.
Hey, this dude showed up late to a Legends did a game with
game.
Quavo. Remember the shit out of the Mamba?
Oh, yeah.
Nigga came to the second quarter. High socks, Chucks. Was it high top Chucks?
High top Chucks.
Came in there, bro, put work in for one quarter and then left.
Dip.
That's all he had. Just came to show his face real quick, in and out. Because mad, out there really hooping, like trying to go.
Couple that boys, shit. Give me that out of there. I need a bucket. I need another one because I need to be on TMZ or something. Give me another one. All right, start the car, baby. We out. What them free shoes that nigga Quavo made? Give me the shoes too, nigga. That nigga made some sweet ass shoes. I ran off with them motherfuckers. Ran off with the plug twice.
Yeah, that shit was funny. Speaking of, obviously, Usher and him performing in this year's Super Bowl, what was it like to perform at home with family and just something that was legendary?
You know what? I was more into Dr. Dre than me. I was more about making sure that's just the protector that I am. Like, I protect the house. You know what I'm saying? Like, I protect the house to make sure that the king look good. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? If you notice, I didn't do no Snoop Dogg songs.
Yep.
Not one song out of my catalog. It wasn't necessary. What's going to make the king look right? Mm-hmm. Let the king drive. It's better when Dr. Dre in the driver's seat and Snoop Dogg in the passenger seat hitting switches. Looking out the window.
Nah, facts.
You know what I'm saying? Like, facts. It ain't gonna be right if I'm over here with this nigga holding the wheel and shit, and we arguing over the wheel. Nigga, let me drive, nigga. Ah, bah! I know how to play my position, you know? I ain't got on no seatbelt, but I'm in the shotgun. Yeah. Don't cry.
When you get asked to host the Olympics and you got asked to host the Olympic in Paris. What is that detail?
When I get asked to host the Olympics, that to me, that goes into, okay, this is a professional gig. How do you hone your skills and how do you be on your best to where they'll want to bring you back again? They want to bring you here because you have something that's missing. But how can you add on that without fucking that up? Like not coming in, overdoing it, trying to pour too much sauce on it. But they want Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to do. But at the same time, I'm going to go do some research on some of these sports and these events, learn some lingo,
be ready.
Some slang. Prepare, so when I'm out prepare. There, it look good, it feel good. I may pick up an animal or two while I'm out there and some product to make my precision, you know, precise. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. It's all about the whole get down. I got a whole... I'm from the 70s, man, and anytime I watched things in the 70s, it always had coordination to it. All of the players, their cars would match their outfits, their girls' dresses mm-hmm. would be the same, and their home would be decorated the same way. So I'm thinking like that, like how do I bring all of this shit that I got to the Olympics, keep it clean, but keep it me?
Mm-hmm.
Speak to you and Kevin Hart's chemistry with that.
Kevin Hart, shout out to Kev for... Mm-hmm. For bringing me into the equation as far as saying, Snoop, come do this Olympic thing with me at my spot. It'll be a good look. I'm like, fuck it. I believe in you, Kev. You know what I'm saying? You little motherfucker. You got LOL, nigga. Let's go. It's your company. Let me help you blow your shit up and brand your shit. So I go fuck with him and just shooting the shit's what we do. But niggas don't know. I'm a lightweight comedian. It's what I do. So we back and forth. We do the shit we do in this moments that become like, Instagram reels and people playing them and they becoming viral.
Like the horse crib walk.
Exactly. That killed it. And people seeing it and they remember them executives are seeing it too.
Mm-hmm.
So they watching like, shit, maybe we ought to move that nigga out the minor leagues and bring that nigga up here with these big boys. Mm-hmm. Cause he hitting grand slams down there. That's how I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, when the majors call you up, I don't want to have no slumping first week. Nigga, I want to have a mother.
Hit. Out the gates, yeah.
This nigga got 17 steals and 14 home runs in 3 games. Right. This nigga's amazing.
We talked just the other day about, you know, some stuff we got coming and how mm-hmm. you want to come correct and get down. So, you know, we got our own stuff now, which we're really excited about. All the Smoke Production, shout out DraftKings, but we definitely got a player for you to come suited and booted and come talk your shit.
Yeah, and you know I'm into it. You know, I'm always about innovation and I love the fact that y'all took y'all shit from where y'all from that little garage to where y'all got it at now. Like, and I ain't trying to be funny. I'm just saying, like,
but it's facts.
That's nigga. The GGN started in the fucking garage, nigga. So I respect that garage game because it teaches you how to be a little bit more hungry.
That's part of the grind.
It is like, and if you think back, y'all probably didn't got a little. Softer since y'all left the garage. When y'all in the garage, you niggas was like,
I wouldn't say softer, but definitely richer.
Yeah, richer, nigga. Yeah, but, but I don't mean no disrespect, but I mean by like y'all, when y'all was in that motherfucking garage stack, anything goes. Now it's like, okay, let's look at our interviews. Who's going to be on? Let's get our questions together.
Never that.
Let's have our sessions together. Nigga, y'all used to be like, y'all niggas sitting on that motherfucker like, yeah, nigga, so, nigga, so what you think about, like, yeah. Nigga, go back and look at y'all vaults, nigga. Remember, I'm a fan of this shit, nigga. I ain't just on here to be on here.
Yeah,
nigga.
We owners now.
That's what I'm saying, nigga. So y'all got to think about the other side. It's like, okay, when I was on Death Row Records as an artist, I had a different mentality. I didn't give a fuck about the business and the branding and none of that shit. Nigga, I want to be the dopest rapper in the world. Where my show money at, nigga? And you know what I'm saying? Who think they can get some? Mm-hmm. But as a businessman on Death Row Records, I have to look out for the artist, the business, the reality of the approach of Death Row. Is it friendly?
Mm-hmm.
Is it scary like it used to be? Or is it happy when you see it? Is it approachable? Is it marketable? Is it global? Like, I have to think about that instead of, let me sign this nigga from over here who don't like these niggas from over here.
Right, yeah.
And then let me go sign this nigga from over here who don't like these niggas from over here. Now I done put myself in a triangle trying to keep Death Row true to what it was built on.
Mm-hmm.
It was built on that, but it's gonna live on this.
Mm-hmm. To be successful.
What is the goal? What is the, I mean, obviously tremendous honor. I remember you telling me years ago, NB, I'm gonna get Death Row. You was telling me that shit 7, 8, 9 when you was doing the football games together. I'm gonna get Death Row, watch. And you got it. I mean, what is it? Obviously, first and foremost, congratulations. But what does it mean? What's the goal? I mean, I'm a big fan of October London. Like, what's happening with Death Row?
difference between before and now. We have levels and layers, like October London, like you said, Jane Hancock, I'm R&B. Let's give them a different sound, a different look in the beginning. And we have movies and pictures and projects that we're working on, clothing line, jewelry, Happy Dad Death Row fucking beer that we got that's selling everywhere. Like, I'm trying to make that shit, everywhere you look, you see Death Row.
Goddamn right.
Because it has to be that, because
ecosystem.
It's one of the most interesting brands that was ever created, and it never followed through. It was only known for what you know it for. You can always say the Suge, Tupac, Snoop, Dr. Dre, and blah, blah, this and that. Where's the business? There's no business. There's no business there. It's like there's no, it's made a lot of money, but did niggas touch a lot of money? Did anything happen out of that that's still living? Only thing that's still living is the IP. That's why when I bought it, I knew that was important to protect that and to clean up all of the shit that was connected to it when I bought it, because it was a lot of shit that was connected to it because of the people that was handling it. They was just working with anybody. And I'm like, no, clean that shit up. I'm starting from scratch. Everybody that was good, that was with Death Row when I bought it, they'll still come with me because they love Death Row and they all family any motherfucking way. Mm-hmm. All the ones that was bad, that didn't cut them niggas off, and let's build a new team of strong, powerful, smarter people, smarter than me. People who have jobs and have sold things and have worked in this business for years and have a resume stronger than mine. So when I say I have a cast of employees, my employees' resume make me look like I'm the dumbest nigga on the team.
The Death Row documentary. Can you tell us anything about that? Who we might catch on that?
Yep. We've been shooting that. Antoine Fuqua has been shooting that. Me and Harry O, we like the main focal pieces to it all, you know? And then you have all of the ensemble cast of members who participated. Lady of Rage, Corrupt, RBX.
Playing themselves.
This is just the documentary.
A documentary, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what's going to happen, though, Jack, I'm glad you said that. Someone is going to give us a Death Row series.
Ooh-wee.
Oh, believe that.
You know, I started acting, so think about your boy if you need an extra or something.
For real.
Look at my nigga.
Yeah.
My nigga.
Close mouth, don't get fed.
Say that then.
Any new solo projects coming out on the label?
Yeah, I'm in the lab with Dr. Dre right now working on.
That's what we waiting on.
Yeah.
I was hoping you say that.
Yeah, that's Death Row Aftermath. So we finishing up that right now, tightening up the pieces to that. You know, he's a perfectionist, so.
You got a time frame on that?
Let me fuck you up real quick. The nigga called me one day about 2 years ago. It's like, nigga, come over, let me do a couple songs with you. I'm like, all right, so I get over there. He's like, nigga, let me do your album. I'm like, all right, let's go. It's gonna take me about 2 weeks. All right, fuck it, let's go. We go in, knock out a couple songs. He hit me back. I need two more days. I got that call probably about 85 times. This nigga need two more days all the time.
Perfection.
But when you hear what we have and how he got me rapping, and it's like a grown Snoop Dogg. It's not like, yeah, nigga, but it's a growth to him. It's the way he selects his bars. It's the way he uses his voice. It's the way he... Like, I'm talking about me like it's a third party motherfucker. Right. This nigga used me like a fucking robot. And I love it because I love to be produced. I love to be challenged. I hate when a motherfucker just take it for granted that I'm working with Snoop. Here's the beat. Make a song.
Want. Yeah.
And I may say some bullshit because I go through bullshit. I may be rapping about some shit I said a long time ago or shit that you don't want to hear. But if I'm being produced, we're creating this piece together. Mm-hmm. And this shit is masterful because my voice is a part of your music. It is actually an instrument, as opposed to it just bouncing around the track. Use my voice like a fucking instrument.
Mm.
Let me be a part of the music. So when you hear Dre and Snoop, you always, this is what you're gonna learn. Every song that you've ever heard from Dre and Snoop, my voice is never on top, it's always in there because it's an instrument.
Mm.
So that's what he's doing. He's using me as an instrument right now to create this masterful album.
Could we hear something after?
I bang a couple for you.
Yes, sir.
Man, give me some voice.
30 years. Come on now. What'd you say? Closed mouth, don't get fat?
Yeah, I'm trying to tell you.
Doggy style, 30 years. Congratulations. First and foremost, quick story. High school. That's my freshman year of high school. My little white homeboy, Jeff.
Jeff?
Yeah, you bet, Jeff.
I met that motherfucker. I'm like, you talking about the one that I met?
Yeah. He bought that album 3 times. His mom took it from him all 3 times.
That's
he
a was, real motherfucker. Like, my little homeboy that had the mom took the album, had the but CD I'm money. Again.
Hey, he would thrash his parents' room looking for that shit, bro. He bought that shit 3 times. Doggy style.
I could just hear him now. Matt, my fucking mom took my cassette fucking again. Nah, no. But don't worry. I'm going to buy another one.
But anyway, man, happy 30 years. Talk to us about that.
There we go. See how we merchandising and shit? Mm-hmm. We marketing and branding. That's a little tote bag.
Hey, Ashton had the jacket like that. Remember you sent Ashton 2 of the jackets
come
like that?
Now, you know I represent. Little. Come yeah. on now, I'm representing. Mm-hmm. But doggy style, right? 30th anniversary. That make me feel good that people still love that record after so long. But when I listen to it, I'm like, damn, that shit sound.
And that shit still jamming.
It sounds so good. Like the way it come on in the bathtub and it really feel like a nigga sitting in the tub and the homies ring the doorbell and come over and then kick off with George Clinton and Rage and Gin and Juice and like it's a fucking movie. Like Dr. Dre really produced the fuck out of me, but we was hanging out so tough at that time. We was riding together. We did everything together. So imagine two niggas with no wives doing their thing, working on an album. So he was learning me and figuring me out and learning the things that I love. Because whenever I would ride with him in the car, I would always put a cassette in and it would be some old school shit playing. Mm-hmm. And whatever that shit was would become a song. Just because either I would start singing some shit off of it or he would be like, nigga, who was that? I'm like, nigga, that's the Dramatics. Oh, nigga, we fucking with that. Like that kind of shit. So that's what this record reminds me of. The brotherhood that me and Dre created that still exists to this day, as far as him trusting in this young nigga from Long Beach and saying, I'm finna produce your next record like I did. Eazy-E's, DOC's, NWA's, Michelle A, anything I ever touch, nigga, it go gadget. Oh, and we just did The Chronic, by the way, if that ain't proof. Mm-hmm. So I need you to be you, Snoop. Be raw as fuck. 2 songs is freestyles, no writing. Just raw. Mic check. Mic check 1, 2.
Get it.
Finish the shit. Whoa, whoa, whoa. All right, let me go write it now. Nigga, write it. Nigga, it's already done. That's what that is. So when I think of this record, all them memories of me being young, fresh, dope, and having somebody like Dr. Dre be young, fresh, and dope too.
It's a crazy mixed up world.
You know where I got that from?
It's a doggy dog.
I got that from a song called If It Ain't One Thing, It's Another, Richard Dimplefields, which was Betty Wright's artist. He had a song where it says that it's a crazy mixed up world. It's a doggy dog world. What happened to that? He know how this shit go.
It's a doggy dog.
Everybody talking smack, running game on this and that. I got that from that. And told Dr. Dre, I want the Dramatics to sing that right there. And the Dramatics knew it. And they put that motherfucker right in and then whoop, right into Doggy Dog.
Sounded like it was they shit. That's how good they sound.
See what I'm saying? And niggas wasn't into taking other niggas shit. Old school niggas? Oh, they don't like that.
Yeah.
You tell an old school nigga, hey man, I need you to sing. Nigga, I ain't singing that nigga shit.
Right.
What's wrong with mine? I wrote my own shit, nigga. Right. Nigga can't write for me. Hey man, Unc, I ain't asking him to write. I just need you to sing. Nigga, I ain't singing that, nigga. The Dramatics? I got footage with me and them niggas on,
bro, how
on the side of
video?
A bus, nigga, in Detroit, nigga. I called them niggas. It was snowing. I had this badass record. I said, ooh, I got a record for y'all, Unc. And this one, they was mad at each other. Because you know they got hot after my record and shit. So you know when niggas got hot, they done made two Dramatic groups. One with him as the lead singer and one with him. Just like the Temptations, nigga, this shit is real. I called them niggas. Them niggas like, pull the bus up on the side of some street. So I pulled a tour bus up on the side. We got the studio in the back. First nigga pull up, Ron Banks. He come in. What's up, nephew? What you need me to sing? I'm like, all right, Ron, we got this shit in the back. They already laid it down. He go in the back, and LJ Reynolds come like 10 minutes later. He look and see Ron in the back, pop his champagne. When you ready for a real motherfucker to sing, I'll be up here waiting on you. I'm like, damn, these niggas is really into it. So the nigga come out the back, and Ron look at him, and they looking at each other like they finna argue, and one of the homies then put a cigarette in motherfucking LJ Reynolds' champagne. That nigga lost his mind. We ended up not doing the song. They got in an argument. He left. He stayed. He was singing off key. It was just the worst shit ever, bro.
I wasn't making that video, though.
That the video Dog World?
Yeah.
What niggas don't know is Ricky Harris came up with that treatment.
Rest in peace.
He had that treatment for Lottie Dottie. But Dr. Dre flipped it and put it into Doggy Dog World. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know none of them niggas. I mean, I knew them as a fan, but I didn't know how to get in touch with all of them 70 stars that I grew up loving and watching. So Dr. Dre and all them pulled the switch and got them all there. Man, I sat next to Ron O'Neill, mm-hmm. Rudy Ray Moore, Fred Williamson, Jim Brown, Antonio Vargas. When I sat next to all them, man, and we chopped it up. Rerun. Nigga, me and Rerun was
pop lock.
Nigga, it was, you gotta understand, I'm a 70s baby, cuz. This was the greatest shit ever, cuz, to be in a video with my favorite motherfuckers, and they knew who I was. Mm. That's all I cared about. They knew who the fuck I was. Like, damn, I can't believe they know who I am. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing else mattered to me, right. But damn, cuz, they know who I am. That's how young I was in my mind, like, when I was at the video, I wasn't even tripping. I was just in full character. The little acting we did in the beginning, I remember when I told Ricky Harris, I said, yeah, when my bitches walk up, I'm going to snap my fingers twice, and the bitches just going to disappear. Vamos. And they said, yeah, 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 Cat Daddy, that's some pimping right there. But me and Ricky, this is my nigga, this is my childhood buddy. So me and him used to always be in character. So we love shit like that. And he was like, yeah, nigga, do it. Snap your fingers twice and make the bitches leave. And I did it. I walked up and, yeah, hey, 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 Cat Daddy, hey, what's going on? The bitches just left. Yeah, man, you know, I was just I'm like, nigga, I'm living my life right now.
Oh, shit.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of times, athletes, entertainers, the transition, there's a struggle. And I think more than ever now, it's more about the business. I feel like when me and Jack came up and when you first came up, like you said, you were just an artist. It wasn't necessarily talked about, you know, the type of business shit. It was just about go get your checks and then, you know, right. Go do what you want to do with it. As someone who's been able to transition and really as big as you've ever been, with all due respect, still, which is not due respect, that's great. What would you tell someone that is trying to understand the athlete, so to speak, the entertainer, so to speak, that's going to transition into business?
I think you got to learn what business that you're after and start honing that skill now, just like you did with your entertainment skill and your athletic skills. You have to practice at it. You have to learn about it and learn how to be great at it. And the same goes in the business. Like, I don't just get deals because I can talk shit good. I really know business, and I really studied, and I really understood it. And then I go acquire the knowledge and get so good to where I have a demand, and then I can hire people to help me. So the demand ain't so much on me, it's just me being creative. So what I say is, you got to really work hard at knowing the business and knowing what business you want to do, because all business is not for you. You know, everybody's not going to be an analyst when they finish doing sports. Everybody's not going to be able to translate into podcasts. And some people are going to translate into, you know, behind the scenes or doing other things. You just got to figure out what that thing is. I didn't know that I would be a fucking football coach with a football league and making kids music and doing all the things that I'm doing. But I had to take that choice on making a decision on, this is a business that I think I can attack, that I could be good at, and it's not much of a risk. It's a lot of reward. I'm going to try this.
Brodus Foods, partnership with Master P. Y'all have been in business for about 30 plus now. What does he mean to you, and what is Brodus Foods?
Master P is probably the smartest businessman I've ever met, because he taught me the most important lesson of it all: marketing and branding yourself and product. Product don't talk back. Product, it outweighs talent, because talent only can take you so far. But how much product have you been buying since you was a kid that you still buy? And it has no talent connected to it. Mm-hmm. Has no celebrity pushing it or promoting it. You just stuck on buying this certain shit that you've been buying, whether it's cereal, ice cream, potato chips. It's a brand that you fucking feel acquainted with. Nigga, go get me some Ruffles. Nigga, get them Doritos. Now it's like, nah, go get that Broadest Foods. You feel what I'm saying? Like teaching a whole new system because Snoop the loops. Shit is good. It ain't just like a nigga just throwing some ghetto shit out. Master P just made some fake ass Fruit Loops and put some sugar on them and wants you to eat them. Nah, nigga, this shit is certified, nigga. For real, for real. This nigga know his shit. That's what I love about him is that he learns the business before he does the business. You can't goof-proof him. He ain't. You ain't finna, no loopholes, none. He done all that shit with his own money before it even hit the market. Testing, giving it away, this shit, feedback, taste test, all that shit to where it's like, nigga, 99 out of 100 said they love it, nigga, let's go. And we done gave away $1 million worth, so they'll buy. See that system? The giveaway get back, not the robbery. Flagship up, building in your community, take all the money and run the fuck off. Nah, new system.
New ways. Skechers. Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank Martha Stewart for that. Because somebody from my team was blocking. I ain't going to say his name, but the nigga was blocking. But he was blocking for the right reasons because he felt like Skechers and me didn't connect. He felt like it was a brand that was beneath me. But, nigga, all shoes are beneath me. So, so what I did was...
That's a bar. That's a bar.
Yeah. I took Martha Stewart's bar, advice. Nigga. She was like...
That's a bar.
She said, Snoop, you should get with Skechers because they don't have anyone like you. They'll give you as many shoes as you want. You should meet the owner. He used to run LA Gear. When I meet the owner, Rob, oh my, he's my kind of guy. Elder guy, player, understand it, love it, keep young people around him, bring me down to the office. Look at, they done made 30 shoes with my name and all kind of shit. Got an office laid out. This is what we want to do for you. What you think? I think, where's the paper? I need to sign. Then we're going to make shoes for women, kids, basketball shoes. Them shoes that Randall and all them niggas wearing right now, they're mine. Hello? All the whole game.
Who's wearing them?
Julius.
I didn't know that was
those Snoop Dogg basketball shoes by Skechers. This, we sliding in, we low key, we ain't put my name on them. We gonna, Normie's gonna rock them one time.
Remember you gave me them shits for the Lakers.
I did. I took care of you, MB. I took care of you, you understand me?
That's right, I gotta find those, that picture.
No, but they are a brand that, what people don't know is they number two. Nike number one, they number two. They got the most stores around the whole world. They the shoes that everybody buys. So you got parents and people that work at hospitals, police officers, they make shoes for all walks
skaters.
Of life.
Skaters.
Yes, so it's not just like Jordan and Nike, right? And then it's a couple other shoes from Jordan that you may, I mean from Nike that you may buy. Nigga, they shoes is being bought from the whole house. In some countries, all they do is wear Skechers. So I was looking at that like, I'm global. I ain't gonna get no deal with Jordan. He don't want me on his team. He already got too many people like me. Let me go find somebody that ain't nobody paying attention to. Go do my thug thizzle with them and get mines in while I ride in, show them some things they ain't never seen and let them take me places I ain't never been. As soon as I go to holler at them, a week later, my nephew go up there unannounced after he get drizzled out from Adidas and they like, what should we do? I'm like, what y'all calling me for? I said, y'all in the office? They said, no. I said, well, act like y'all ain't in the office. And they couldn't give him the play because he ran over there trying to get the play, but I had already beat him to it. Y'all reading between the lines. Y'all
yeah, know already.
Trying to go get the play, but the boss had already met the D.O. double.
Too late.
I met the dog, man.
But let me tell you, I'm with Jordan. I've been with Jordan for a long time. Ain't nobody like you at Jordan, dog.
Facts.
I can tell you that.
Facts. And I respect his brand so much to where I would rather support it than compete against it. Or to be in the same lane with it.
Yeah.
I'm in a whole nother demographic, right? Like, nigga, he's here forever, nigga. He's the greatest to ever do it. Nigga, I was a fan as a kid, a fan as a grown-up. Loved him at North Carolina until they ran up on my Georgetown Hoyas. But it is what it is. He's the GOAT. He is him. And I respect his business hand. And when I watched that Air movie, I'm like, oh, that was some old game. I don't win there in position. Like, I'm watching the game. It's the game I'm watching. Magic. I don't fuck with them. I'm going to go with Converse. Okay. Mikey, Nike.
Look how that turned out.
Yeah, Mikey, Nike. Are they Mikeys or Nikes?
Right.
OnlyFans, try to throw $100 million at you, $100 million at you. What happened?
Come on, man. You know that.
Matt, you know the boss lady. Don't come in there playing no motherfucking games with me, nigga. You didn't dealt with her before.
I didn't.
Don't hear that shit.
I didn't know. So that was the play, though. I just caught the headline. I didn't get to hear the whole story.
I was on with
so.
Slink, nigga. You know Slink, right? Slink Johnson.
Yeah.
Me and Cuz jumped
Smoke
on.
Yours.
Yeah, we jumped on like some ghetto ass, like just two man podcast because we watched Shannon and everybody do their shit. I'm like, nigga, let's get on real quick. So we pop on just to pop some shit, right? Because we got some shit. Well, he got some shit where he'd be like, nigga, I know your mama. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I know your mama too, nigga. Because remember, me and him the same way. Nigga, I know your mama. Nigga, was 1974. We was hanging out at that. You understand me? So we popping our shit. And a nigga, like, he say something to me. And I'm like, yeah, man, you know, OnlyFans, man. One of my homegirls over there, she made about, like, you know, 20 mil. And she hit me with, hey, D-O-Dub. They say they'll give you 100 million if you pull that thing out.
So I was saying, I didn't know what it was for.
Yeah,
to pull that thing out.
My bad.
On live TV. I'm like, nah.
Is it on live TV?
Nah. No way.
Yeah, nah.
No amount of money.
Jack, if you were single, would you do it?
For 100 million?
For you're mm-hmm. single.
Mm-hmm. I got kids.
Respect.
Thank
respect.
You. See,
respect.
That part respect. Right there. I got grandkids. See, that part. Like,
me
not
too.
Just kids. I got grandkids. So when I got, right? I got granddaughters.
Got granddaughter
yeah.
too.
Shit. Yeah. Sure your face.
You just put that thing on OnlyFans?
Not nope. at all.
They gonna know it's mine, though, because they ain't never seen one like this. They'd be like, that motherfucker's notorious.
Speaking of kids, grandkids, I see that brings a lot of joy to you. I've yeah. got to see you around your grandkids. I love to finally see the. I don't know if you've always taken vacations, but I know of late you've been taking more vacation with the family.
Yeah.
It looks beautiful. You got the grandbabies out there. What does grandfatherhood mean to you?
Get away with everything.
Yep.
Violating, getting mad at mom and daddy if they ever raise their hands at my grandbabies, if mm-hmm. they raise their voice at them. When they wrong, they right. When they right, they right. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know what it is? It's like, Pawpaw is the reason.
Yep.
Like, the last time we was on the vacation, they pull up with my baby girl, and she mad, and they come in the house, she just storm off running just like a little white girl in a movie, in a horror movie. Just runs away. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? She running this shit. She runs away. I'm like, hold on. We on the island. I don't know what kind of animals this shit is out here. So I go chase her down. And I catch her. First, she mad. She mad at me now. So, you know, Papa say all the right words and all the right shit. And she give me a smile. Grab her hand. We walk back in the house. I walk her in the back. And I win her over. And I'm like, these is moments that I love, how they lost her. Mom and daddy lost her attention. She was mad at them. But Pawpaw come in mm-hmm. and get her happiness back, get her back to being. Then I shared some corn nuts with her. She's never had corn nuts. And they were the greatest thing that she ever tasted in her life. These was barbecue.
Oh, that's seasoned.
Hawaiian. Yes. Nigga, Hawaiian barbecue corn. The kind in the county, nigga, that's. You eat like this, nigga. Like, my grandbaby would stand on top of me, like, I'm like, damn, you like this? She's like, mm-hmm. Like, yeah, but just to be able to share that moment,
right?
Her first experience tasting that or chilling with her pawpaw from mad to happy, like, this shit means the world to me, man. Like, awards and all that shit is cool, but that's the real reward right there.
I feel like, goddamn, you know. You grew up in front of our eyes since we were kids. You was on TV making music. And to see where you are right now, do you ever kind of just sit back and obviously you're still continuing to climb the ladder, but do you ever just sit back and be like, man, it's been a hell of a ride thus far?
I'm gonna tell you what I told Keke Palmer earlier today, Matt. I ain't got time to watch my highlights when I got a game to play tomorrow.
Mm. I feel you.
Another bar.
That's a fact, Jack. When I see Snoop Dogg shit, I get fascinated with it. Like, if I watch an old movie or old whatever the fuck, I really be locked into that shit, like watching it as a fan. Like, damn. Seeing where I was good, where I was bad, where I was weak, how I've grown. And like, I watch it like a coach watching mm-hmm. an athlete to mm-hmm. critique him.
Game tape.
Yeah, like, nigga, you should have, see right here? You should have. Backed up and nigga, you shot too fast. So you like, damn, all right, I get it. Cause some movies I was in, great actors brought out great acting in me. And then some movies I was in, I was terrible because the script was terrible. the actors was terrible, and it just was what it was. It was an opportunity, and I didn't give a fuck. I just wanted to be in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was like, nah, nigga, I want to be the star. I like being the star. You got to have that ego about yourself. You got to have that. It's like an athlete. The dogs say, nigga, I want the ball.
Mm-hmm.
The regular niggas be like, all right, I'm open. I'll play my position. What you need me to do? I ain't him. I want the rock.
Mm-hmm.
I want the rock because I'm going to put out some points.
Yeah.
Tell your cameo, your solo right there, the movie, where they can find it.
The movie is Underdogs on Amazon Prime, January 26th, starring Snoop Dogg, Mike Epps, Tika Sumter, George Lopez, Andrew Schultz, and a whole host of kids and players and people that just made this thing come together. So make sure y'all go check it out. The Underdogs, coming to a hood near you.
Quick hitters. One song, your favorite song you love to perform live.
My favorite song I love to perform live.
Or maybe two.
Fuck Them Other Niggas is one I love performing.
No Limit.
We used to have a motherfucking march to that shit.
That's KLC?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Nigga used to march to that motherfucker like that.
Y'all don't get to perform that much. Pound.
Come on, nigga.
Come on, you know I'm from the
Quit
South.
Quit playing, nigga. You already know, Jack. Them niggas was Dr. Dre on steroids to the South, nigga.
Shit, straight up.
Them niggas was coming back to back with a record every 2 weeks. And I think Gin and Juice, too. I love performing Gin and Juice just because I watched that song become a cult song for different genres. They have a country version to Gin and Juice and a jazz version. And it fucks me up that I'm that old to where they remade my songs in these genres, and this is like 20 years ago, and they didn't change my fucking lyrics at all. That shit be blowing my mind. I'm like, am I that good? So that's why I don't watch my highlights. Mm. See, I get caught up and shit. Did I do that move? Shit, let me go try that motherfucker right now. Oh, shit, I ain't what I used to be. Mm. I should have shot a jump shot. Because I only get one dunk a game now, by the way, fellas. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. It's either at the beginning or the end.
On them 9 foot hoops in there?
8.5.
I went got me one in and I struggled. I got it. Top 3 albums of all time. Don't have to be hip hop either, because I know you jam a lot of old school.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with I love that Claudine album. I ain't even gonna front. Y'all probably don't even know what that is. That Claudine by Curtis Mayfield, Gladys Knight and the Pips, is for a movie called Claudine. That motherfucker cold.
The whole album is
the
by them?
The whole thing. Curtis,
by them?
Curtis wrote the whole album for Gladys Knight and the Pips,
yeah.
And it's called Claudine. It's got a song in there called Mr. Welfare, a song in there called To Be Invisible. I mean, it's so connected to the movie and our childhood. That's definitely one. Rick James, come on, man. With Busting Out, what album was that? That was Busting Out, that was the album?
Yeah.
That motherfucker. Well, all right, you squares, it's time to smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. Come on, Rick. That album right there. And then, I'm going to be biased. I'm going to say Doggy Style. Mm. It doesn't hurt to say it. I'll just say it. Fuck it, Doggy Style.
Mm.
All the while we do it doggy style. Yo, motherfucking ho. Shout out to George Clinton for getting his star the other day.
One thing you wish you were better at?
Being patient. I'm impatient. I'm very impatient. I can admit that. I don't like to wait. I go to restaurants. I order my food before I get there. My wife get mad because I didn't act like I'm going to the bathroom. I done gave the chef $100 and told the nigga what I want. So while they sitting down bullshitting and shooting the shit, my food and showed up. And they looking at me and I'm grubbing like a motherfucker. They like, we're supposed to be eating together. I'm like, we're supposed to be eating.
Period.
We are together.
Who your first celebrity crush?
My first celebrity crush? Probably Thelma from Good Times.
Hold up. Good one.
I met her in real life too. I told her, trust it, Thelma. You still fine as a motherfucker. I used to dream about you. You know that, right?
For real.
I used to call you baby girl just like James did. Baby girl?
Who's your current top 5 in the league right now?
Basketball players?
Mm-hmm.
that motherfucker from the Nuggets, Jokic. Hey, hands down. I'm like, it used to be Giannis. That nigga then came out of nowhere, and he don't fuck around. That nigga right there, him off the tippy.
Yep.
When Ja Morant is on the court,
man. Yeah, he unstoppable.
I can't even front, because that nigga is different. I hate playing that nigga, man. He
got
different.
A jetpack on him.
He is a goon with the spoon. And he shoot threes, too. He worked on his three. I seen that. They thought he was going to be bullshitting. He worked on his three. Shout out to Ja Morant for working on your shot when you was off. I seen that. You're good better. Shit. We're going to praise you, too. Niggas ain't going to just beat you down. We're going to praise you when you do right.
Facts,
you did that.
We knew he can hoop.
Off tippy.
No question.
Rippy tippy. Well, we all had that same problem having them associates, you know, association by affiliation till you understand that. It can't get you to your destination.
Yeah.
So I say Ja Morant's definitely in there. I like the nigga from the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Shay.
Oh, that nigga. SGA. He play like Snoop Dogg. I like him. That nigga play like the T.O. Double. I fucks with him. That's three, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Giannis be turning his light on and off, man. Embiid the same way. Like, well, wait a minute. Embiid keeping his light on a little bit more.
Bro, he on one right now.
I'm going to throw him in there. That's why I had to check myself. I throw him in there, Embiid. I have to. I know the game, nigga. I'm still paying attention. And one more, the young goon from Minnesota.
Man. Anthony
Edwards. That nigga will bang on your ass.
He a problem.
Right now.
He old school.
I will bang on your ass right now. Mm. That's my top five right now. No Lakers in there right now. No disrespect. No, Brian, you coming off the bench for being an old ass nigga with all that game. You still show up, nigga. You still show up, nigga. Still.
Co-star in one movie. Who would you want to co-star with?
Mm. Great question. Tom Cruise. Because I know it's going to be big.
Yes, sir.
The deal double and Tom Cruise.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Cut the shit, Jack. Let's go to the biggest box office we
God
can
damn
get
right.
to. Mission Impossible 9, nigga. Fuck
you. Goddamn right. Goddamn right. One guest you would like to see on All the Smoke.
Hold on. We already asked you this question. There's one person we want.
Yeah.
We
asked you this before.
Dr. Dre?
We want Dre.
Come on, man. We said it last time.
We want
time.
Dre, dog. That's all we want.
I think y'all should try to get Sade.
Ooh. Yeah.
That'd be dope.
Ooh,
I don't never
different.
See her doing interviews.
You know her?
That'd be different.
I'm trying to do a song with her. If I get on y'all's show that I can slide the beat.
Yeah, we can
right
make all that work.
I can put the beat next to her on the phone like y'all be doing. You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
You hear that? Hear that beat?
Well, man, we appreciate your time again. It was great to catch back up. Underdog on Amazon Prime, January 26th. Make sure you check it out.
Go check it out.
We're going to slide to the premiere tomorrow night. Looking forward
y'all
to that.
Y'all coming?
Yeah, we're going to be up there. So,
Matt, do you remember when I used to have those premieres, those smoke premieres?
Mm-hmm.
See, niggas don't talk about that. Snoop Dogg used to have premieres where you could smoke, Jack. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if you ever been
to one. Nah, I wish I would have loved to take part in one of those.
Nigga, I used to throw premieres, nigga, and rent that motherfucker out. As soon as the lights go off. Dun, 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 dun. All you see is smoke.
Yeah,
it's everywhere. It was amazing.
And you had one not too. I think right when COVID hit, remember we had to stay in our. We didn't have to stay in our cars. Most people stayed in their cars and smoked.
We had to drive in.
Yeah, what was? Yeah, that was a drive-in night.
What movie I showed?
I think an old school
Purple
movie.
Purple Rain.
No, which one called this movie? The one with the white girl killing him or trying to kill him. Remember?
Get Out.
The jealous.
Was
white
it?
Girl movie.
Was it Dion?
Oh, Dion Taylor's movie.
Okay,
that shit was good.
Yeah.
With Hillary Swank and that shit was good, nigga. Niggas didn't leave their cars.
Hell yeah, it was like a real drive-in. You did something else too, though. You did an old school night too, I think.
I did Purple Rain. I did Which Way Is Up. I did Willie Dynamite.
That's what we sat in that car and just smoked the whole thing out. Remember?
Oh, bro, we
was sitting. I put on some old school movies for your ass, my nigga. Like I'm with that shit,
boy. Yes. I know one of you motherfuckers ate my chicken. I hope you choke on the goddamn bone.
Damn, Annie, man, you sure is built.
Congratulations. Good luck. Looking forward to more greatness.
This is my favorite show, though, because I was happy for y'all on Showtime. I'm happy for y'all. Every time I see shit go viral with y'all's show, I love it. I love the interviews y'all be getting with all of the athletes, how they be so raw with y'all and real and authentic, and how motherfuckers love sharing their secrets with y'all. Like, that's a gift, because we real secretive once we become successful. So to be able to open up and share those stories and information with y'all means that y'all in a safe spot. So keep up the great work.
Appreciate
it,
bro.
That's it.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes!
We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.